Good day, everyone. Welcome back to Dreams Warp, the podcast designed to awaken you to a new reality. For today's episode, you know what day it is. It's Tuesday, and that means it's time for Tuesday Taoism. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Hey all, before we get into this, I just need to allow a quick word from a sponsor. Thanks for your patience. All right, let's go ahead and get into this. My name is George, and if this is your first time here, first I want to say thank you for checking out the podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to explore the mind and the depths of consciousness which create it. Ultimately, the podcast is here to help you gain a sense of mastery over your reality in your life by mastery of the mind. So if that's something that interests you, you have definitely come to the right place. And I'd like to remind you that if you find the content of this podcast helpful, I hope that you will consider sharing it with others. That's a nice way to support the podcast. Now, we do have a few series here on the podcast. We have our Tuesday Taoism, we have our Zen stream on Sunday, and then I do try to throw in an extra episode every week related to another topic, something related to mental health. That is my background. I'm a psychotherapist, been doing that for about 16 years. So you'll hear things about mindfulness, meditation, healthy living, breathing exercises, anxiety, relationships, basically anything and everything that helps you reach your goals, achieve your dreams, just live an overall happier day-to-day life. Now, today is Tuesday, like I said in the intro, and so we're doing our Tuesday Taoism. And again, for those of you that are brand new here, Taoism is a philosophy. Some might call it a religion, but it's more like a philosophy. Based on a book that was written about 2,500 years ago, give or take a few hundred years. And it was written in ancient China. The book is called the Tao Te Ching. And it's basically a collection of just amazing wisdom, really. Each chapter is very, very short. It's maybe a paragraph, if that. And then I read it on Tuesday Taoism and share just some things that I believe or I get out of it. I've been reading this book on and off, many different translations of it since I was a teenager, about 25 years now. And, you know, I always come back to it every few years. And every time I do, it blows my mind. And I said, you know what? This would make a great thing to discuss here on the podcast. So I've been doing that now for a little while. Today we are up to chapter 65. I always say every week, just so you're aware, this book has been translated hundreds, if not thousands of times. And depending on the author who's translating it, you can get very, very different interpretations. You could pick up two English translations and see how vastly different they are. So I have been reading from this particular translation by a gentleman named Stephen Mitchell. I really like this translation. It's the one that I continually come back to. And I just think it's very well written. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and read this. This is chapter 65. And then we'll talk about it a little bit and see what we get out of it for today. Okay, so this is it. Chapter 65, Tao Te Ching, translated by Stephen Mitchell. The ancient masters didn't try to educate the people, but kindly taught them to not know. When they think that they know the answers, people are difficult to guide. When they know that they don't know, people can find their own way. If you want to learn how to govern, avoid being clever or rich. The simplest pattern is the clearest. Content with an ordinary life, you can show all people the way back to their true nature. And that's the end of that chapter. And there is some interesting things. It's very interesting to me how most weeks when I do this, I would say 90% of the weeks when I do this, I read the chapter once, maybe twice, silently, just before I start recording the podcast. And then, interestingly, when I'm actually recording the podcast and I read it aloud, it almost always has a different impression. Different things get emphasized as I read it aloud as opposed to when I read it silently just before I start recording. And it's interesting this time how the impression that I had from it when I was reading it silently compared to the impression just reading it now aloud, it's different. It really is. And what I want to hone in on here is because I think that a chapter like this is very easy to possibly misinterpret, to be honest. And again, these are just my thoughts. You know, you maybe get a different interpretation out of this. But couple things that stand out to me is where he says, the ancient masters didn't try to educate the people, but kindly taught them to not know. Now, at face value, you're like, well, that's not good, right? You might think, why wouldn't you try to educate your people? That's good. You should educate your people. But I get into a little bit more about what I believe he meant by that, okay? And he says, but kindly taught them to not know. And then he follows that up by saying, when they think that they know the answers, people are difficult to guide. Again, this kind of maybe not for everybody, might raise some feelings like, oh, so you mean like keep people uninformed so that they'll do whatever you tell them, right? You could read it that way. You could interpret it that way. And then he follows that by saying, when they know that they don't know, people can find their own way. Now that is interesting. People can find their own way. That is key right there because it kind of, those impressions that I read to you before that had a little bit of a negative tinge to them, that gets kind of flipped on its head when he uses those words, people can find their own way. And we're going to talk about that a little more in just a sec. If you want to govern, right, avoid being clever or rich. The simplest pattern is the clearest. Content with an ordinary life, and we got to talk about that too, you can show all people the way back to their own true nature. Now, let's start teasing this apart. And I'm going to start with that line that I highlighted earlier where he said people can find their own way. Now, this is very interesting because there is a theme in this book. There's a theme of how when an individual, you, me, anybody, is aligned with the Tao, aligned with, you could replace the word Tao with you know, their source, you know, their highest consciousness, God, okay, whatever word you want to use there. When a person is fully aligned to that, they don't need you to teach them. They don't need you to instill your rules on them. They don't need you to control them. They automatically, according to the book, according to Taoism, they automatically follow their own like perfect true nature. In other words, they become self-actualized, self-realized. Now, what blocks that from happening? What gets in the way? Well, if we hit the rewind here a little bit and look at the previous few lines, it gives you a clue, right? And it says, didn't try to educate the people, but kindly taught them to not know. When they think that they know the answers, people are difficult to guide. When they know that they don't know, people can find their own way. How? What does that mean? Well, here's what it means. In Taoism, I've heard it more. Let me put it this way. I've heard it talked about more in Zen tradition. Although, you know, Zen is very much, there's a big overlap between Zen and Taoism. As I've said here before a few times, when Buddhism came into China, thousands of years ago. In China at that time, there was two major schools of thought. One was Confucianism, one was Taoism. And it is said that Buddhism kind of merged, so to speak, with Taoism and gave us Zen. That's how Zen supposedly, you know, got its origins. So in Zen, you do hear a lot about this don't know mind. And when they refer to the don't know mind, it's not the same thing as being dumb or ignorant or ill-informed. What the don't know mind refers to is a mind that is not so clamped down on closed concepts of knowing. Oh, I already know that. It's almost as if when you come into a new moment, right, and the moment is fresh and new. If you have ever read a book I read that I think was just amazing to me, was the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying. And in that, I believe it was in that book, or I know I read it, I think it was in that book, he talks about looking at life and death in a whole different way, whereas most people view beginning of life at the birth of the body and death being at the end, you know, the decay of the body or the death of the physical body. Well, in some traditions and also in that book, Tibetan Book of Living and Dying, they talk about how every breath in is a new life and every exhale is a new death, right? So every single moment is the birth, a new birth of endless potential, a new birth of universal consciousness, right? A new moment, a fresh and completely new. So what happens when you enter each of those moments already thinking that you know everything? Well, then the present moment tends to be reduced from being open, vast, infinite potential, to conceptual, another moment. Oh yeah, another moment. Another, you know, this serves, as Eckhart Tolle says, you know, means to an end, right? I have to go through this moment in order to get to the next moment because I want something in the future, et cetera, et cetera. So when you take this idea of the don't know mind, what you're saying is that you approach each and every moment completely fresh, with your mind completely open. And you're not looking to conceptualize what you are experiencing at any given moment. And by doing that, reducing the moment to something that is a mental concept, right? And that is something, again, that's discussed a lot in Zen, is that don't know mind. So when he refers in these lines here about not knowing, my impression is that that's what he's talking about, is that the ego mind, I guess that's the okay term for it, it's always thinking, planning, scheming, right, plotting. And I've been talking about this in the last couple episodes here on the podcast. And it works through abstractions, right? Through conceptual thinking, right? That's how it works. It doesn't really pay all that much attention to the present moment, right? It's always focused on the future. And this is the knowledge-filled mind. This is the educated mind. This is the complicated mind. This is the one that he's pointing out to here when he says, when they know that they don't know, people can find their own way. And interestingly, right, I think it was Confucius who said, the only true knowing is in knowing that you know nothing. I always like that saying. And it is true, right? We take things to be factual or to be true only because we've heard them enough times, or we have repeatedly experienced the same thing. We kind of have this notion of being able to predict something. And because we can predict it, we say we know it. But we often have to stop and ask ourselves, well, is it our prediction that is always creating the same outcome, right? Because that can happen, right? If you go to a party and you expect to have a horrible time, more than likely you're going to have a horrible time, right? So that does tend to happen. So when we get into this don't know mind, it's as if you are approaching each and every moment as it is completely fresh, new, and full of potential. And the more you're able to do that, that doesn't mean there isn't a place for education, right, for knowledge, but we're able to put that down and approach each new moment with that don't know mind. And we're able to do that, we're able to experience it as a fresh, a completely new existence. Just the other day, I was watching this show. I forgot what show it was, but there was a scene where the father was talking to the daughter, and he said, it's an old saying, you know, you can't put your foot in the same river twice. And you know, she didn't quite understand it. He says, well, it's never the same river. There's always water flowing through it, and it's never the same foot. It's never the same person, because the person is changing. Every moment, like right now, this moment you're listening to this, you're not the same person that you were 5 minutes ago, right? The conceptual mind says, yes, yes, I am. I am the same person. But in truth, your cells are changing. Everything about you is changing. I think it's said that every 7 years, you have a completely new body, right? All your cells have died and regenerated. So you're never exactly the same person. No moment is ever exactly the same as a previous moment. The only reason they appear the same is because the conceptual mind keeps defining it the same exact way. This is the mind that we try to shy away from when we get into the don't know mind, okay? That's exactly what he's talking about here. And when you're able to grasp may not be the best word, but when you're able to align with that kind of don't know mentality and you're spontaneous and fresh and alive and open in each and every moment, then as he says here, you find your own way, you align, right? Now let me pause here for a second. Got to get through the other half of this thing, but I want to allow a word from a sponsor. So just be patient. I'll be right back. All right. Thank you for your patience. I am back. Let me just take a quick moment here. Remind you that if you ever want to reach out to me to ask a question, make a suggestion for a future podcast episode or express a concern, you can always email me at elucidatethereal@gmail.com. Or you can hop on over to the YouTube channel by the same name, Dreams Warp. Just find any one of my videos, doesn't matter which one. Post a comment under it. Say, hey, I just heard your podcast, had a comment, question, concern, or suggestion. And I get notified right away. I can respond to you over there in the comment section of a YouTube video. Finally, I recently did start a Twitter account, so you can DM me over there. Also, follow me on Twitter. I do post things there pretty regularly, and I retweet some things that I think serve as nice reminders to focus on the present moment, focus on your breath, focus on your practice. So follow me on Twitter to get that that good stuff there. And if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts and you are enjoying the content, I hope you'll take a moment to leave a nice rating and review. That really helps the podcast as well to get discovered by more people. So, all right. I noticed, goodness, that first section of the podcast was rather long. I went a good 15 minutes there. So I'm going to try to keep this one, this half, a little more concise. So after we get past that part where he's talking about don't know and how people can find their own way, right? We talked about that. He goes on to say, again, he talks often about governing. And he says, if you want to learn how to govern, avoid being clever or rich. The simplest pattern is the clearest. Content with an ordinary life, you can show all people the way back to their own true nature. So this section here, the way that I am interpreting this, okay, is again, I tend to view this almost, I draw a little bit of a line, okay, a little bit of a separation, creating a little duality here to get this idea across. Is that I draw a little bit of a line between our external world, okay? Things we have in our life, physical things, basically characteristics, you know, where we live, who we're married to, how much money we have, those kinds of physical things. And we draw that and kind of separate it out from our internal world, which is our mind, our thoughts, our feelings, you know, our emotions, our behaviors, our language, things that we say. And of course, in ultimate reality, these two are not separate, right? Because it is out of our inner world that our outer world appears. But again, for sake of talking about this, we're going to just make that little distinction there for the moment. So when he says things, avoid being clever or rich, simplest pattern is the clearest, content with an ordinary life, what I take out of that is, especially the line, the simplest pattern is the clearest. And he says, with an ordinary life, you can show all people the way back to their own true nature. So what I interpret there is he is saying that if your internal world is full of being clever, of being, you know, very complicated, of being, you know, always focused on getting the next thing, becoming more rich, becoming more, and you're always after those things in your internal world, then it's going to be a little bit more difficult to lead others, to govern others. and to set an example, right? So I don't necessarily think that being wealthy is a negative thing. I don't agree with that at all. I just think that if you are overly, in your internal world, overly obsessed with that, that can be an issue. That can be an issue. And I do think that that happens for many people back then and today, right? Is that we have people out there who I think there's a good portion of our population that don't have a very good relationship with their finances, with the financial aspect of their lives. And I believe all aspects of our lives are spiritual in nature. There is no good aspects of our lives and bad aspects of our lives, right? There's a healthy relationship that we need to develop. And when it comes to riches, wealth, there's a lot of very negative relationships. Either people are obsessed with it, or you have some people who think it's the root of all evil and it should be avoided. So you get these kind of extremes, right? So I think in these lines, what he's talking about is our inner world. And especially if you are looking to govern others, to help others, to lead others, right? And he completes it by saying, content with an ordinary life, meaning being happy with whatever you have, right? Being, I guess another way to put it is being able to connect to gratitude and being able to enjoy each and every moment as it appears, right? The ordinary life, right? Because ultimately, nothing is ordinary, right? So he says, content with an ordinary life, you could show all people the way back to their own true nature, right? And it does connect a bit to what we were talking about earlier, that usually if you're very clever or you're overly obsessed with having certain external things, riches, wealth, then what happens is that you will have a harder time showing others the way back to their true nature. It's just kind of a given. So very, very good chapter, a lot to get out of there. And I really like the idea of the don't know mind, the not knowing mind. That is, again, approaching each and every moment as a separate life, as a separate existence. So good stuff, good stuff. I hope that you enjoyed it as well. Stay tuned, of course. I'll be back later this week with another podcast episode. And again, if you ever want to reach out to me, use any of the methods I described earlier. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day.